The game is over. Your Bucks postgame show starts now. Welcome to Bucks Talk. Insight, analysis, and your chance to sound off on the game you just heard. Now to break it all down, here's your host, Justin Garcia.
Well, a very disappointing end to this road trip. You bookend the trip with 35-point losses. A not-so-great start in San Francisco against the Warriors. That was a game where there were more positives than tonight, and positive is a funny word to use for two games that you lost by a combined 70 points. But remember, in that Warriors game, the Bucks did go on a charge coming out of the half. And it was the way they closed out the third quarter where the lead slipped away or the margin started to increase, and the Warriors really ballooned it in the fourth quarter. But there was a 5.5-minute stretch in that third quarter where you thought the Bucks are going to erase this margin, and it had a lot of those vibes we were seeing in Dallas against the Mavericks and earlier this season at home against the Portland Trailblazers. Tonight there was very little of that. You did see a couple of spurts in the third quarter where the Bucks, I believe, got it down to 14. I think there was a moment when A.J. Green had a chance at what would have been his second three of the game. I believe that would have cut it to 13 and would have started to make it interesting. I think 12 was the number you thought, if you can knock this down to 12 going into the fourth quarter, you feel okay. That is certainly not insurmountable. But this also had a lot of vibes of a team that knew they were in the final game of a long road trip. I know it was only four games. I know the Bucks have had longer road trips this season, but it was 8 days that you spent in California, and it very much looked like a team that was ready to come home. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. And I mentioned team that was ready to come home. That's the good news, is now you come home and you're home for an extended period, or at least a large bulk of the way that the Bucks close out this month of March. It's going to still remain difficult with the schedule that you have in front of you, but there's a lot more home games, and it just seems like that's what the Bucks need more than anything else at this moment. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. We'll get into some more of the numbers from this ugly loss in Sacramento and take a look at this upcoming stretch, which is very home-heavy for the Bucks. We'll do that after this on Bucks Talk.
You're listening to Bucks Talk. The round ball repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
Bucks come up pretty short in Sacramento against the Kings tonight. A 35-point loss to wrap up a trip that you began with a 35-point loss in San Francisco against the Warriors. And I mentioned, you just are looking to get back home now if you're the Bucks, where you will have five of your next six games played. It starts on Thursday against the Philadelphia 76ers. It's a Sixers team that I mentioned as well. They got Tyrese Maxey back tonight, who is out with a concussion. They're not going to have Joel Embiid back. And here's the other thing we haven't mentioned. You might have Chris Middleton back. I know there was, I don't know if I'd say a lot, but there was more optimism yesterday when you saw he was designated as questionable on the injury report and not out. But that changed today when the status was downgraded from questionable to out. I didn't think, and we talked about this a little bit last night on Bucks Weekly, I didn't think we were going to see Chris Middleton in the game today. I thought it would make more sense Thursday, possibly Sunday. For the reason that, number one, you're probably not going to return in the final game of a road trip. I understand he was on the trip with the team the entire time, but it just didn't make a whole lot of sense to return for the final game of a four-game road trip. And also, after this game, you have 2 days off. So that is a baked-in additional couple of days of rest. And again, I go back to what Doc Rivers had said about a week ago, maybe closer to 2 weeks ago, but in the not too distant past, Doc Rivers had mentioned if this was a playoff game, we think Chris would play. And that leads you to believe, like, he's probably very, very close. I'm not even going to put a percentage on it, but he probably feels like I could go if need be, but 100% is what the Bucks are basically shooting for. Look, we're this close to the playoffs. We know the importance that Chris Middleton carries. We know the importance health carries. When you look back at the last two postseason runs, Chris Middleton goes down in that series against the Atlanta, or against the Chicago Bulls. You don't have him against the Boston Celtics. You didn't have enough offense. And you didn't really properly get to defend your title because of injuries. Last year, the funny part is all the voices that we heard dismiss Giannis going down with an injury in that series against the Miami Heat and saying, well, the Miami Heat were a buzzsaw. They were connected. They were playing much better. Eric Spoelstra, guys hitting shots. Jimmy Butler in the playoffs. Now you're starting to hear more and more of, well, you know, if the Bucks had a healthy Giannis, fully healthy Giannis for the duration of the series, who knows what happens? But it's 2 years in a row that you had injuries. I don't know if you can say deciding your run, but at least playing a role in where the Bucks season ended or how it ended. And really 3 years where injuries played a role, even the year they won the championship. I mean, there's the Giannis issue that we can all point to and all have mentioned of, yeah, I mean, look at what Chris Middleton and Brooke Lopez did in those final two games against the Hawks to close out the series. You also caught a Brooklyn Nets team that was dealing with injuries. And again, it just goes that way sometimes. You got to be good, you got to be healthy, and you've got to be lucky. Bucks had all three of those. Maybe not at the same time, but they had all three of those pieces in 2021. They haven't for the last 2 years. So, long story short, just keep Chris Middleton wrapped in bubble wrap. You do want to see him in the regular season before the playoffs. But if it means it's April, then it's April. If it means it's Thursday, great. If it's Sunday, yeah, we would all sign up for that. But the most important part is just having Chris on the floor in the playoffs. We'll take a look at this schedule ahead of the Bucks with this game against another playoff team. Has it diminished the remaining schedule that the Bucks have? We'll take a look at that as well coming up after this on Bucks Talk.
The Hardwood Homilies continue after this. This is Bucks Talk. WTMJ. This is Bucks Talk.
So with this road trip in the books, Bucks have not gone up and not gone down in not only the standings in the last couple of days, but in the remaining schedule, in the race there. Still the fourth most difficult remaining schedule in all of the league. It is now number two in the Eastern Conference, though, as the Charlotte Hornets have the toughest schedule left. But, you know, I mentioned a couple of things, and number one, the caveat is we need to hold off on projecting first-round matchups and looking ahead to, well, if this happens, you would get this team, and if this happens, until we get to April. Because 4 through 8 are separated by just two games in the Eastern Conference. That's what we've seen in the Western Conference for a long time, where you just never knew it. It always came down to the final day, not just for two seeding lines, but for most of the bracket. And that's where we're headed this year in the East, where 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, those five teams are separated by just two games. So it is a pointless exercise to look at, well, who would you rather have here? Because it could be any of those five teams. You could have the Knicks in the first round. And I know I said I still feel pretty good about the Bucks finishing either second or third. A lot would have to happen for the New York Knicks to catch them. It's certainly not ideal that the Knicks are starting to get healthy. They avoided any type of major issue with Jalen Brunson about a week ago. They got OG Anunoby back today. They're 13-2 this season with OG Anunoby on the floor. They've been a 500 team, below 500, 8-10 in the 18 games that he had missed. They've been elite with OG Anunoby on the floor. Best defense in the league, a top 10 offense. Middle of the pack in both of those ratings without him. So he has been very impactful, and now he's back. It's basically four games that you have to play with here. On the Knicks, they have an extra game than you do, and you got one game left against the Knicks. You win that game. I don't know that I'd say guaranteed with 15 games otherwise to account for, but if you win that game, it's pretty close to sealing off the three line as the lowest you can drop if you're the Bucks, because it would be an extra game. You already have the tiebreaker. You're currently three games up on them. With the tiebreaker, it's four games. So you'd push that number to five. And again, there's 15 other games on the schedule outside of that one for the Bucks. That would take a monumental type of collapse. So I still think the Bucks are going to finish either second or third. We'll get into that conversation in terms of where and is it important in just a moment. But we just don't know, and we won't know until the last week, maybe even the last day of the season. The very, very last slate of games on the final day. We may not know until then who the Bucks are going to play because of how fluid it is and how bunched up those teams are, four through eight. And the fact that any of those teams could be your first-round opponent, whether it be as a two seed and waiting to see who comes out in the play-in tournament, whether it be as a three seed, and this is who you're getting at that six line. Or again, if things start to go south and the Knicks start to make a charge and you finish fourth, all of those things are in play for the Bucks. But I do think if you're the worrying type and you see where the Bucks are currently sitting in the standings, you would probably say, you know what? Maybe it's not so bad to get caught by the Cavaliers, because at this moment, the Philadelphia 76ers are 7th in the Eastern Conference, and the Miami Heat are 8th. 7 plays 8. The winner gets the 7th seed. So if you finish 2nd, you know you are getting either the team that finished 7th or 8th. The Bulls and the Hawks, they're not going to move up past 9 and 10 because of the separation that's already there. They're 5 games back of those teams that are currently in that 4 through 8 mix, 5 games. It's the same conversation we just had about the Knicks. It's going to take a lot. But you can't get either of those two teams as the 7th seed. If you're the 1 seed, and that's what the wrinkle that makes it interesting, all 4 of those teams are in play. And that's what made it somewhat frustrating last year for the Bucks, knowing, all right, there is no real way to prepare. Right? If you're the 2 seed, Tuesday, Wednesday, whenever the first set of games are played, you know who you're playing, and you got all the way until Saturday to prepare for that opponent. You're the 1 seed. It goes down to Friday night, where sure, after the first day, you can, all right, we can cross that team off the list, and we can prepare for 3 teams, and then after the next night, when one of those teams loses the 9-10, all right, we can cross that team off the list. We know it's one of these 2 teams. You don't know for sure until Friday. But again, I mention all this because, even though I said don't do this, if the season were to end today, the Bucks are the 2 seed, and the Sixers are the 7, the Miami Heat are the 8 seed, Joel Embiid is going to come back. It's obviously not official, but he has said it, and it seems like he's going to come back. We just mentioned on the pregame show today, the timeline for Karl Anthony Towns was 4 weeks. I don't know that it was the same surgery. It's a similar surgery that Joel Embiid had. 4 weeks. That would bring him back to be reevaluated, not necessarily return, the final week of the regular season. Joel Embiid had the surgery a month earlier than Karl Anthony Towns did, so it just seems like Joel Embiid is going to be back for at least the last week, maybe the last 2 weeks. Maybe he's back in April, start of April, but I do believe Joel Embiid is going to be back this season. And that play-in tournament, that 7-8 game, Joel Embiid and the Sixers versus the Miami Heat. I mean, I don't know who you would root for in that situation if you're the Bucks. We've been tormented by the Heat year after year after year, save for that 1 year in 2021. But it just seems like death taxes and the Bucks and the Miami Heat in the first round of the playoffs. We've never gotten the Bucks and the Sixers, at least in these iterations of the franchise, the Giannis versus Joel Embiid. I don't know that you want that in the first round, though. So again, a lot to sort out. But if you're one of those fans and you say, you know what, maybe it's good to finish third because Well, then it would only be the Indiana Pacers, who, by the way, beat the Bucks four times. And we heard from Doc Rivers, look, it is a concern of mine. Teams like this, teams like the Pacers that play at a high tempo, a fast pace, we're an older team. We're a slower team. I think we'll get there. I think we'll figure out how to combat this. But I do have a concern about it. Well, that's who your first-round opponent would be as a three seed. So still a lot to sort out. But the home games are what you're going to have to hang your hat on of, all right, let's just get home. Let's get off the road. Let's start to clean some of these things up. And again, the return of Chris Middleton. So why it could come Thursday, we'll take a look at that. And again, some of the quirks to these upcoming games that the Bucks have. Five games in their next six are played in Milwaukee. That's the big piece. But there's also some interesting components to the schedule. We'll get into that conversation after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk. Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
All right, five of your next six games are going to be at home. The first of those is Thursday against the 76ers. And I'd said, in terms of the Chris Middleton return, it just seemed like sometime at home was going to be more likely, even though we all got that nice dose of hopium yesterday when we saw Chris was listed as questionable instead of out on the injury report. But with it being the final game on the road trip, it didn't make quite as much sense in that aspect to me. But also, you come home, you play the 76ers, you have the one day off, you're traveling back home tonight. Tomorrow you'll have some type of walkthrough. And we heard from Doc Rivers before the game, Chris has been going through two-on-twos and three-on-threes. But you'll go through whatever it is you're going to go through tomorrow. And then you have the game against the Sixers on Thursday. That, to me, has always made the most sense for Chris Middleton to return that game, because after that game is played, you get 2 days off. So it's, and I hesitate to even bring that up because there is that portion of Bucks fans that are going to label Chris Middleton as, you can't rely on him, he's injury prone and this and that. And look, I recognize at some point, you have to acknowledge the games missed the last few years. That is fair. I don't know that labeling Chris Middleton or levying him with that label of injury prone and can't be relied on, I don't know how fair that is when some of these have been freak occurrences. Slipping on a wet spot in a playoff game, that's a freak injury. Coming down on Kevin Durant's foot on a jump shot, right? That's a freak injury. This isn't, well, you just can't hold up. I understand the game's missed, and well, it's been 3 years of this. But, you know, he has a track record of being a longer track record, of being pretty durable. I think a lot has gone into this. I think when you look back at last year, that's really what stemmed the frustration, was how long it took for him to return to the floor. And as we started to learn in that sit-down that he did with Eric Name of The Athletic, there's a lot that went into that. It was a busy offseason for Chris. I keep going back to what you got from Chris Middleton in that playoff run when you won a championship. And I think what gets lost in this conversation more than anything else is the time off and the rest and recuperation that he did not get. You go from winning a championship and playing in the finals to 2 days later, you have your parade. 2 days after that, you are on a plane with Drew Holiday and Devin Booker going to Japan to play in the Olympics. And you're there for a month. And then the league returned to its normal cadence. So you get done with the Olympics, you come home, you have 3 weeks before the season starts. And that was an interesting season, as we mentioned. A lot of ups and downs for the Bucks. A lot of issues and injuries, right? It wasn't just Chris Middleton, but it was a lot of wear and tear. There wasn't a lot of rest. It was a lot of basketball, not just from that season, but when you think about longer runs for the Bucks, you think about how strange that COVID year was prior to the Bucks winning the championship, where you played the Bucks, were doing a lot of the things the Boston Celtics are doing this year. I am not saying let's make that comparison. I'm just pointing out Bucks were on pace to win 70 games at one point that season. It cooled down a bit towards the end. They were still keeping a pace for, I believe, 67 wins. Then the season gets abruptly halted. Life did for all of us. You come back to play in the bubble. You play until, what, right before Labor Day, I believe it was, when the Bucks were eliminated by the Miami Heat. Then you get a couple months off, but it was still an odd start and stop. And then you start the season in December. Then it carries into July. Then you play in the Olympics. Then you come into your new season. Then you deal with an injury in the playoffs. And that's when he just said, okay, I'm going to get another procedure as well on the wrist and something else that had been bothering him. It had been a lot of games, not a whole lot of recuperation. It's been a frustrating couple of years. But I point back to everything before that, when he was incredibly durable. And when we had very similar conversations about the hamstring injury, when he tore it off the bone, and we all wondered, boy, these are tough injuries to come back from. I don't know if he's ever going to be the same. He became better. So I get, let's take our time. Let's be very cautious with him. Let's make sure he's good for the playoffs. We feel like we can get through all this now. They have the second best record in the East. We can get through it now. We need him for the playoffs. And I think that's what they're doing, is playing the long game here with Chris Middleton. But again, five of your next six at home, and it always made more sense for Thursday, for Sunday, whenever it is, somewhere around that time period. Maybe it's the 21st against the Nets or the 20th against the Celtics. But I point those out because, again, you play that game Thursday, then you get 2 days off. Then you play Sunday, and it's an afternoon game. Then you get 2 days off. And then you go to Boston. Then you come back home, and you have the Brooklyn Nets on a back-to-back. But then, again, 2 days off, and then two more games at home. So that's a lot of rest. And I would imagine Chris Middleton is not going to be playing in back-to-backs. So you could even go as far, if he's back, to say, all right, he's not even going to travel to Boston. And then you're basically staying home in Milwaukee from tomorrow, the 13th, all the way through the 27th, 2 weeks, where he doesn't have to travel, can continue to go through treatments and rehab and everything else. So it does seem like during this stretch, five out of six games at home, it does seem like we're going to see Chris Middleton make his return at some point, probably early, or hopefully early is probably the best way to put it. But it seems like that's where we're headed. We'll wrap up the show after this on Bucks Talk.
You're listening to Bucks Talk. The round ball repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
All right, so this was not a memorable road trip for the Bucks. You lose the first game and the last game by 35 points apiece. And that tough loss to the Lakers by 1 point on Friday night, where Doc Rivers referenced that in his postgame comments as well. We let one of those games get away. We could have easily and should have been 2-2 on this road trip. But even still, if you win that game in Los Angeles against the Lakers, the optics of starting the trip with a 35-point loss and ending it with a 35-point loss, that doesn't offset winning the two games in between. There are still some things this team needs to improve. Doc Rivers was the first to acknowledge that. But we've heard a similar statement from him a number of times now. And to be fair, we heard this from Adrian Griffin as well earlier in the season, and that is the understanding that our offense and defense need to be in sync. They need to be more aligned. And our offense has to put our defense in a better spot. The second time in this road trip, we heard Doc Rivers say, we just didn't do that. And I thought it was interesting, too, to hear him before the game saying, or hear him after the game saying, you know, it's shoot around. We heard guys talking about flights and coming back home. And we had a little bit of, we better be focused in this game, and didn't feel like that's what he saw. So no excuse for it to not be there when you return home on Thursday and are there for five of your next six games. Will we see Chris Middleton? TBD. Keep an eye on the injury report tomorrow, and we'll have a better understanding of that. Bucks and the Sixers, Thursday night, 7 o'clock tip. 6:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk.